Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ. Call Cheryl now with your questions about gardening or landscaping at 512-836-0590, pound 590 on your wireless, or toll free 1-877-590-KLBJ.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Gosh, it is gorgeous outside. I got a little rain this morning at my house, just a kind of a brief shower. It sure was nice. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin, as you probably heard. This is the Austin Gardener, and you are welcome to join the show. You can call or text 512-836-0590. And we have a toll-free line if you need that, and it's 877-590-5525. So again, call or text 512-836-0590. Yeah, so everybody ready for the apocalypse tomorrow? I mean, it's really ridiculous, although I don't know if, you know, about the traffic, that could be a problem. I may just head out towards 360. I'm supposed to go to my sister's house, and she lives up in Great Hills, and she's having a party to watch the eclipse, and I'm going to pull down to 360 and see what it looks like. I mean, probably getting there won't be too bad. Going to be maybe getting home that might be an issue, so I don't know. I may just stay home. But I hope you guys all enjoy it, and that it's not, you know, terribly cloudy and rainy, which it looks like it might be, but shoot, I hope not. Be a lot of disappointed people. So, okay, 512-836-0590. We have a caller on the line, so let's head to Pflugerville first. Hello, Dean. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I've got a couple of spots in the front of my house that I want to plant like a small tree that would bloom like my Rose of Sharon that I have in the backyard, but I really don't want something like that. And the reason I like the Rose of Sharon because it lasts through the winter and then comes back. I've tried the, the hibiscus trees. Mm-hmm. And I really like those, but I can't seem to keep them alive through the winter.
Yeah, most of the hibiscus are that, everybody puts around their pool and in pretty pots and stuff are not really winter hardy. If you keep them in a container, you can bring them in for the winter and then put them back out. I've designed a lot of landscapes where we leave spaces in beds. We put a flat, like a stepping stone kind of rock there, and then people can bring out their summer plants. But is it full sun?
For most of the day, I guess from about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it starts to get shade from the house.
2 or 3. Well, have you thought about a crepe myrtle? I mean, nothing else is going to bloom as long as a crepe myrtle, so that's a thought. And there are dwarf crepe myrtles that get, like up to 6 feet tall. That might be a better, consideration for you. All the other ones that I can think of just bloom for a short while. Like, I love Anacacho orchids. They're blooming right now with white flowers, but they only bloom for a while in the spring, and then they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Rose of Sharon. I don't know why you wouldn't just do another one.
Okay. Well, I might.
Yeah.
I really do like them, too.
Yeah. They'll take more shade than a crepe myrtle also.
Okay. All right.
Well, good luck. Yes, sir. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to Dripping for our next call. Hey, John, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
So I have a weird question. We've had a miniature rose. It's in a pot. We've had it for, I want to say decades, but at least for years and years. And it's always put on flowers. It kind of goes dormant around December and then comes back in the spring and summer. But this year we noticed something. Some real thick green stalks came up out of the middle of it. The leaves are 3 or 4 times as big as the little ones. The rose that they're starting to put out are much bigger. And now I noticed just this morning when I came outside that the miniature leaves are starting to brown. Is it possible that thing was grafted and the grafted rose is mm-hmm. becoming dominant? Is mm-hmm. that what's going on,
yeah,
or is this just natural?
It sounds like it's going to a throwback position to the original plant that this miniature was cultivated off of. I have never heard of this before, but if I had to
really
guess...
It's strange.
Yeah, I mean, if the flowers and everything looks healthy, then you probably just, you know, it's, again, like a throwback to the original plant, which is so weird to me. I mean, I'm not an expert on this. Maybe somebody listening would know the answer to this, but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. I mean, I'm not unhappy with it. If it's going to put on red flowers, it's going to put on red flowers. If they're big, they're big. If they're small, they're small. But we thought that was odd.
It is odd. It's very odd. The only other thing that I could even think of would be some kind of a nutritional boost that you gave it that it never had before. And it got real happy.
I can't think of anything. We've been treating it the same, but we'll just see what happens.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, see what it turns into. Could be a big old rose bush. You never know.
It could be. I might have to stick it in the ground. Then I got to worry about it freezing. But anyway.
Well, actually, it's unless you're bringing it in, which you probably must be, in the winter.
Yeah.
It'll, you know, roses are very hardy here, very hardy. So I wouldn't worry about that. If you want to put it in the ground, you'd probably be fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling KLBJ today. Okay. Anybody else want to call? You can call 512-836-0590. That is also the number that you can text. Let's see here. I'm just looking for something real quick. Okay. Here we go. All right. Let's go to our next caller in Bastrop. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Well, I thought I would call if you heard Jeff's comment on earlier about giving up on squash. I as well gave up on squash. And... Mm-hmm. Then I'm a master gardener in Bastrop, and one of my friends is also. And what she did last year, she tried something, and she took the BT and a syringe. She got the syringe at Tractor Supply, and she directly shot it into the veins of the zucchini and had success. She had beautiful zucchini. I saw them. So I'm going to try this year and see if it works, and thought maybe Jeff would want to know and your listeners.
Well, I've heard of doing this before, so I think you're going to have a really good luck with that.
Hope so, because, I thought, you know, what's the definition of crazy, doing something over and over again? And that's what I was doing with the squash. So
I know a lot of people just won't do squash anymore, but I bet you're going to have a good result.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
You need to let us know.
Okay.
That would be nice.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. And let's see here. I got, let me see if I can get Judy taken care of. Hey, Judy, Central Austin, what's going on?
I have been listening to your warnings about peat moss, and you had said the plants really just don't do very well with that peat moss. Well, I had an orchid that did so well for 2 years. It even had a baby. It bloomed twice before it had a baby, and it had a real nice, large extra orchid plant that sprouted from the stems that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just gently released that new little orchid with the roots and everything, and I put it in the same pot as the original orchid, and I thought they would do okay. And I actually, the pot was about gone because it was one of those plastic pots. And I took it and bought a new, quote-unquote, orchid pot to put it into. Well, it does have peat moss. Now, they are both slowly dying. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm giving them too much water.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say. Too much water. And that's the problem with peat moss, is because it, when it gets wet, it's almost impossible for it to dry out. When it gets totally dry, it's almost impossible to wet it again. I'd pull them out of there and put them in those, you know, my orchid grows in the those bark chips. That's what mine's growing in. So if you want to try to save
them. Oh, really? Bark chips that you get from a nursery?
Yeah, that's what mine came in. Hey, I got to do a news break.
Okay.
I mean, an ad break. Do you want, is that all you need?
I'm going to keep listening, but I'll hang up. I'll keep listening if you have any more advice.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back, and you are certainly welcome to join the show at 512-836-0590. You can also text that number. And we do have the toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. I was looking back through the text from Jeff's show earlier, and I came across this one text with a photograph, and it says, John, is this a type of wart? I want to collect the seeds to start them in another spot. And he probably answered this, but I just wanted to tell, if somebody's still listening, this is a day flower and not a spider wart. We've got two species of day flowers native here. It's a beautiful little plant. Yeah, you can start it by seed, but that is a day flower. So, okay, let's see about some of these other texts here. Hi, Cheryl. Can you recommend how to get rid of clover infestation on common Bermuda turf? Thanks and enjoy your show. Well, you don't want to go to seed. If you want it to get done, you know, be over with, just don't let it go to seed. However, if this is the little native, what we call clover, but it's really an oxalis, those come and go. They are beneficial. They're not going to outcompete a healthy Bermuda turf in any way, shape, or form. So my feeling is it's just something that's going to go away. It comes and goes, but they are perennial. So it's not going to necessarily kill them if you just take the seeds off of them. But I wouldn't too worry about it. A lot of times when we have weeds in our turf grasses, the solution is A, mow the weeds before they go to seed, but B is to just make sure your turf's healthy. And we're getting into April now pretty quick here. It's going to be time to fertilize your lawns if you haven't done that in a while, if you need to, with a time-release organic fertilizer for lawns, which means the first number will be higher. But that's the best thing you can do. Bermuda is just, it's excellent at keeping other stuff out once it's, you know, healthy. So I wouldn't worry about the clover, but if you want to send me a picture, might help. Good morning. I'm planning on putting in an understory tree on the north side of my house under some tall cedar elms. I have narrowed down my choices to Mexican redbud or Mexican buckeye. I live near driftwood, and there are deer in the area. Which would be best for my situation? They're going to browse either of those, but the Mexican redbud is more for sun. The buckeye will do fine in shade. There is a redbud called forest pansy that works in the shade, which is a wonderful plant. But I'm going to say go with Mexican buckeye. But hey, listen, I've said this a million times. When y'all have heavy deer infestation, you have to protect your little plants, especially for the first several weeks. And, you know, if there's too much deer pressure, they'll eat anything. But you might want to cage it till it gets big enough to where if they browse a little bit, it won't kill it. But, yeah, I think I'd be going with buckeye. Here's another text. With regard to the miniature rose, now remember the guy called about the miniature rose that it suddenly looked like it had sprouted a different kind of rose. My husband bought me a lavender rose and planted it. Some years later, it began to bloom red. When I called the KLBJ Gardening Show, they told me that it was the original graft overtaking the lavender color. Okay, yeah. That seems logical. Here's another text. Okay, here's some photographs. Morning, Cheryl. Almost hydrangeas time. Jeffrey in Southwest Austin. Yay! He's the one that sends me the oak leaf hydrangea photos every year. His are so beautiful. I just love getting his pictures. And by the way, my daughter bought two really pretty ones and put them in containers on either side of her front door. And they look fantastic. Just beautiful. I love them. Let's see here. My pretty picture. My rose bush did well this year. Children have picked a lot of the roses off already. I don't care. Glad to bring some joy to their pea-picking hearts. Man, that is a beautiful rose bush right there. Ah, oh, gorgeous. Yeah, roses, listen, the knockout roses in our entry to our subdivision are astonishing. I mean, they are unbelievable. Those roses are, I've never seen them so pretty. They are just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, for my money, I love them, but for my money, I'd want a fragrant rose. If you're going to have a rose, why not have a fragrant rose? You know what I'm saying? Because to me, that's kind of the whole point of the roses. But and there's a lot of the antique roses still have their fragrance. So if you're looking for a rose, that would be what I would go for anyway. If you ever find a Maggie rose, just grab that thing up. They are amazing. I used to carry them when I had a nursery. They're red rose. They're fragrant. They're not a huge rose, but oh my gosh, a Maggie rose. It's just so fragrant. But then so is Don Juan, that old Don Juan rose, one of my favorite ones in the whole wide world. Let's see. Okay, here's a long text. Good morning, Cheryl. You've seen this lime tree I've had over the past couple of years through text questions I've asked. If you remember, it's been massive and full of leaves. About 3 weeks ago, it was flourishing with leaves, blooms, bees, and butterflies. Well, this is how it's looking of late. We can't figure out the huge amount of leaf loss. We have it in the same area that we also put it in during spring, summer, and fall. With that being said, we did have it in a shed under a grow light with a timer this year for the cold season. It looked amazing and was very happy. Maybe going back outside shocked it? We have no idea. By looking at the pictures, can you spot anything or any reason why it's looking so sad? We don't feel like we're overwatering it. We only use rainwater on our plants. It does seem to have a little bit of new growth. Thanks so much, and sorry for the long text. Yeah, I 100% think it just had put on more leaves than it could sustain being under that grow light. And I think when you put it outside and reality hit, that's what it did. It threw off a lot of the leaves that it could no longer sustain. When it wasn't being pushed, right? The only other thing I would say is that that pot may be getting a little small for that tree. I might think about potting that thing up because it looks, you know, they can get big. And this pot, it looks like a nice size pot, but it may be, I don't know how long y'all have had it in that pot, but it might need to be potted up. okay, 512-836-0590. You can call or text. And we also have that toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. Here's another text. Hey, Cheryl, we have a good stand of spiderwort in the yard. Spectacular this year and still blooming. Bees love it, too. But it sure can spread. Does it come back from the roots next year, or is it by seed? Do we cut seed heads off to control it when it's done blooming? Any advice? Much appreciated, as always. Yes, it does spread vegetatively. In other words, it also will spread by seed. But I love spiderwort so much. Mine are so pretty this year, too. And they really have spread, but I put them in an area where they could do that and it wouldn't bother anything else. It's kind of a woodsy, shady area. You could take the seed heads off to help prevent seeds germinating, but I think you're going to find that it spreads, like I said, vegetatively anyway. So, you know, if you've got a good stand of it, you can always dig some up if you want to thin it out or something. But you know how they just kind of go away when it gets hot, when they're done blooming. I mean, the rest of the year, you don't even really know they're there. So I wouldn't worry too much about it unless you need to remove some. But spiderworts are beautiful plants. And, yeah, they have been so pretty this year. Spiderworts and blackfoot daisies, are they having a great year or what? Oh my gosh, they're so beautiful. You see in the roadsides, you know, they on 2222 and places growing right out of the rocks on the side of the road. They really are gorgeous this year. Okay, well, let's break for the news and we'll be back shortly.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. And if you want to join the show, 512-836-0590, you can call or text that number. And then we also, of course, have the long-distance toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. Somebody texted me, and it just says Maggie Rose, M-A-G-G-Y, Rose, question mark. Yeah, only it was M-A-G-G-I-E, Maggie Rose. It's just a beautiful little rose, a very fragrant little rose. I just loved it. So that's what I was talking about. And, you know, once again, if you have not been to the Antique Rose Emporium in Independence, which is just north of Brenham, you got to do that. And the sooner the better, because, you know, bluebonnets won't be here much longer. But that is one of the most beautiful drives in Texas, from Austin to Independence. Definitely do that at least once in your lifetime, because that place is amazing. It's just overwhelming. But you can also get a list of antique roses online, and you can also use the A&M's Earth Kind Roses list, because these are roses they experimented with that have just been put through, you know, adverse conditions and still thrived. So, yeah, I would look at that list if you want Earth Kind, if you want real hardy roses, you know, like the antiques. Okay, let's see here. Good morning. Need to lay St. Augustine sod. My current St. Augustine sod appears to be dead. Where to buy it in Austin and how to prep for the new sod? Thanks. We always use the King Ranch Turf Company for our grass purchases for our clients. I'm sure there's other good places that I'm not thinking of right now. But this is a very good question, because you want to, what you want to do is make sure that the sod base that your old sod came in on is removed or thoroughly broken up. because it will impede drainage if you just lay new sod right over old sod. I would probably rent a sod cutter, cut out these areas that are, you know, not alive, and then bring in some good soil, you know, like 60% loam, 40% compost-ish kind of a mix, and then lay your new sod down. Make sure it's level with your old sod. So, you know, that way, if you get a sod cutter, you can cut out an even area that's, you know, squared off and what have you. So, okay, let's go to the phone lines and head out to North Austin. Kenneth, how you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. What's up?
Yeah, I have some Russian sage and a couple of knockout roses. I was just wondering if I could plant that now or after the rain, or what is your suggestion?
Yeah, sooner the better. If you've got them, yeah. If you got them sitting there in pots, I'd get them in the ground.
All right, sounds good. You answered my question. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling.
You bet. You have a great day.
You too. Bye bye. Yeah, and it's a primo planting time right now for just about anything you could think of. So, and the nurseries are bursting at the seams with new plants. So, if you can get out there and get you some stuff, get it in the ground now. You know, you get a little head start on the heat of summer that way. Okay, let's see here. Will Mr. Lincoln roses grow here? I can't seem to find them. They have a super fragrance. Yes, they are wonderful. I don't know why you can't find them, but they do work very well here. Also, I bought two unknown type rose bushes 6 years ago from a dead and dying sale. Pink one explodes with small roses every year. The red one has barely grown much bigger than when we planted it, and fewer blooms. Did I plant them too close together? Should I dig it up? Thanks. Love your show. I cannot see the red blooms in this picture, but that pink rose is just a killer rose. That is gorgeous. That might be that Peggy Martin bloomer. That thing just blooms like crazy. It also could be climbing pinky. But yeah, if the red one's not doing well, it might have been planted too deep. It might be a rose that doesn't really like our soil types here. So you might want to, you know, maybe transplant it, make sure it's getting enough sun. It could be getting shaded by the pink rose bush because it's so much bigger. That would be my best guess. I can't really enlarge this photo, so I can't really see the red one. But, yeah, the thing about roses is you don't want to plant them too close together because one of the only things that really... If you're using these hardy roses especially, one of the problems is if they can't get air circulation, that's when you're going to get fungal issues with roses. So that's always a good idea to give them plenty of room and in an area where they get good air circulation, right? But that red rose, I don't know. Like I said, it could be planted a little too deep. That's always a possibility with plants. That's why you got to be careful with trees, too, when you're planting them. You backfill that hole a third of the way and water it in. And then another third and water that in. Because if you just put it in with that loose soil and then water it in, it's going to settle, right? And this is how we end up getting trees planted too deeply, which is, you know, potentially fatal to the plant. Here's another text. Let's see here. It says, I've found Mr. Lincoln bare root roses at HEB Garden Centers. Well, there you go. I don't think they'd be bare root now, though, so I don't know if they would still have the bare roots roses in. But, yeah, that's a good idea. Try to check there. I don't know, anybody that carries a lot of roses should carry Mr. Lincoln, because I used to see him all the time. So I don't know where y'all live, but I would try some of the, you know, the locally owned nurseries nearby you, if you can figure out what those are, because that's always the best idea, is try to get the local nursery, because they know what works here. And if they can get, if you can't find a Mr. Lincoln, get a Don Juan. And it's a bush or a climber. They have both of them. A lot of our bush roses have climbing sports, they call it. So I absolutely love roses, and I am not going to go up there and doink around with them and, you know, spray this and clip that, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not that kind of gal. So I want the roses that take care of themselves for the most part, right? And roses are beautiful with a lot of our salvias. Roses love garlic. That's a good companion planting. So if you do roses, do society garlic with them, and that's a mutually beneficial situation. That's a really interesting topic that, I mean, you could do a whole show on companion plantings, but you can Google stuff like that too. So, okay, 512-836-0590. You can call or text that line, or 877-590-5525. That is the toll-free line. So if you guys have any other comments or questions, please feel free to join in the show. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to talk about here. Yeah. No, I think I got all these taken care of. So lots and lots of good questions and comments today. Somebody asked Jeff about planting Lady Banksia roses in Horseshoe Bay. Yes, they can be planted in Horseshoe Bay, or pretty much anywhere in Texas, as he correctly said. They plant, but you got to watch out for the Lady Banksias. They are extremely aggressive growers. One time in my grandfather's yard in New Braunfels, he had got to where he couldn't really get out there and take care of things, and they had a Lady Banksia rose that completely took over the whole yard. He had a wooded backyard, and that Lady Banksia rose climbed across that backyard. I mean, it was gorgeous, but it was taking over all the other trees out there. So that was not optimal. So, okay, let's see if we can get this first one going. Hey, Rick in Liberty Hill, I only have 1 minute till the break, but let's get you started.
I have two, thank you, Cheryl.
Sure.
I have two very mature pecan trees in my front yard. I've got three teenager pecan trees on another side of the house. And the three that are in the front of the house are not, they're not blooming out. They're not leafing out like I think they ought to be. But there are some smaller ones that are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, and one of the immature trees, the teenager trees, it's got about an 8-inch base diameter. And I scratched it and broke a branch off, and it was dry and brittle. The two big ones, I believe they're natives, they are showing some bloomage, but it's not the massive bloomage that it ought to, or that it has in the past, and I'm scared they're dead.
Well, you got to, you know, you can scratch the bark. But right. In my neighborhood, there's a ton of pecan trees, and some of them are leafed out and others are not. And okay. I think it's just sort of an individual situation. Some of them will go earlier than others, but you got to, you know, give them a little bit more time, and it should
don't
be.
Don't panic yet.
Yeah, don't panic yet. A couple more weeks, and then you can panic.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling KLBJ. We will be right back.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. And let's go to the phone lines again. And if y'all want to join, call or text 512-836-0590. And let's go to Central Austin. Hey, Janet.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi.
I have a question. We have just started a grandma garden, mm-hmm. and we want your recommendation for a yellow rose.
Well, interestingly, the one yellow rose that really works here is called Grandma's Yellow Rose.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. It used to be called Nacogdoches, but now they call it Grandma's Yellow Rose. It's a repeat bloomer. It's the purest and the most disease-resistant yellow rose we have. It's got fragrant flowers. It is very thorny, very thorny. But if you want a yellow rose, that's the one you want.
Okay. Well, that's crazy amazing. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling KLBJ.
Bye.
Bye. Isn't that interesting? We're planting a grandma's garden. That's so cool. Oh, let's see here. I just want to make sure I got hit all these. Oh, yeah, I got them. Okay, 512-836-0590. You can call or text this number. And then, again, 877-590-5525 if you want to call in. It's a toll-free line for y'all. Yeah, in fact, you can see that rose and some other good roses in the growgreen.org website. You know, they publish this book with all the little pictures in it, and you can pick them up at nurseries. But if you just go online to growgreen.org, they've got a lot of the really hardy roses in there. And I'll tell you what looks good with the Grandma's Yellow Rose is the Livin' Easy Rose. Livin' Easy, it's a coral-colored rose. I just love it. Really good disease resistance. It's a repeat bloomer. But there's some other roses don't get huge. Like I love the Marie Daly and the Marie Pavier. That is just the excellent rose. They are either white to pale pink. They're repeat bloomers. They're fragrant. They have very few thorns. They're disease tolerant. Now, the Marie Pavier is the white version. The Marie Daly is the pink one. So just absolutely wonderful, these antique roses. Love them, love them. Okay, let's go to Kyle. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Really good. Thank you.
Great. I have a question. Are the front of our house faces the west,
mm-hmm.
and it gets really hot. And we have not had very good luck with planting plants in our flower bed. And would like a suggestion is, again, says, you know, heat tolerant, drought tolerant. But, you know, it doesn't, they don't last through the summer.
Well, are they mulched and watered?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
The only other thing I can think of is that it could be a soil condition. What's the soil like in your beds?
Well, it's a new flower bed. My husband built it about a year and a half ago, and we got all of the potting soil and all of the stuff from Lowe's, and we've had a couple of the bushes that we've put in there has done okay, but when it comes to like petunias and I can't think of another flower currently at this time, but when it comes to those, they just don't make it.
Did you say that you put potting soil in the bed?
Well, flower bed soil.
Okay, because that's different.
Yes.
If you put potting soil, it does not go in the ground.
Exactly. I just wanted to be sure. Flower bed soil.
Okay. Well, I don't know what kind of soil you got at Lowe's. But it should have good drainage, and it should have a lot of compost in it. And that's the only thing I can think of is that maybe it's not holding enough moisture for those little plants. You know, when you put those little things in, you got to water them a lot at first. But that assumes you have good drainage. And there are some parts of Kyle where it's a lot of clay. And I don't know if
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's y'all's situation or not. But I think it's probably nutritional. If you've got other things that are doing well in there and it's just your little annuals that you're having trouble with, just make sure that you got some good compost in there. And, you know, for the hot weather, you mulch them really well.
Okay. Wonderful. I appreciate the insight. I hope you have a great day.
Well, I hope you do too, and good luck with your new plants, okay?
I sure appreciate it. Thank
you. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, here's another text here. Hello, I have green worms on my Santa Rosa plums. What are they? They're not curculios. Good heavens, there is no telling what those green worms are, but if it's a worm, if it's eating your leaves and you want to get rid of it, just spray them with Bacillus thuringiensis, BT. And that's the active ingredient. So there's many products that, you know, contain BT. So that's what you want to look for. There's Dipel, Thuricide, Bioworm. There's all kind of them, but that's what you want to spray. Now, it doesn't kill them instantly. They have to eat it, and it takes a while for them to die if they're a bother. And I'm sure they're eating your leaves, so, but I do not know exactly what kind of green worm that would be. Okay, let's go somewhere in Austin. Wesley, how you doing?
Yeah, this is Wesley. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to work, and I was wondering, I didn't hear, but I like indoor roses. Haven't had any, but I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
I have never had an indoor rose. Have you?
No, but I want to start them.
Well, here's the problem. It would be a situation of giving them enough sun, I think, Wesley. That, you know, roses like full sun for the most part. There are a few roses that will take partial shade, just partial shade. But indoors, I mean, I just don't know your situation, but there couldn't be an area in your house that gets sun all day unless it's a sunroom or something.
Right, yeah. All right, well, what about this? What if I move them around? How big of a pot do I need? Can I, like, take them in and out?
Yeah, you could, but the pot size depends on which rose you choose, because roses come in all sizes, from little ones that are only a couple feet tall, or in even miniature roses, some of them they call carpet roses, all the way up to big old bush roses. So be sure you know what size that thing wants to be. And then a good 5-gallon container. You live in Austin, so I don't know what part of Austin you're in, but if you go to some place, what part of Austin are you in?
West, over by Dripping Springs.
Over by Dripping. Well, go to the Natural Gardener if you're, right, you know, on the way out. And they'll have all different roses that would work here.
And all right. Well, the adventure begins.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Well, good luck with that. I hope it works.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
I'll listen later and forever.
Okay. Oh, what a sweetie. That was so nice. I love it. Let's see if I can get one more text in here. Oh, goodness. Oh, my. Do you know what's wrong with my peace rose? Oh, yes, that's a fungal issue. You need to get some potassium bicarbonate or milk and water spray on there. Pick off those fungal spotted leaves and get rid of them. Put them in the trash. But that's what it looks like to me. You can, another thing you can do is spray it with seaweed. I don't know what your other leaves look like. You've just shown me this one leaf close up, but boy, it is really got a black spot. So I would try to arrest that. Potassium bicarbonate is the cousin to baking soda. and it's very good at stopping these fungal issues. Then I would go back in. If you've got new growth that looks good, go ahead and start doing the occasional spraying with liquid seaweed. As you know, don't do it in the middle of a hot day right on the leaves, but you spray it. Seaweed is really good about helping fight off fungal issues. And but yeah, that's what's wrong with your rose. So, but listen, you cannot leave those leaves laying around. You got to get rid of them, okay? Sorry that's happening to you. So, all right, folks. Well, I hope everyone survives the Y2K-like solar eclipse apocalypse that's happening tomorrow. It looks like we're going to not have too good of luck with the weather. Looks like it's going to be kind of cloudy and possibly even rainy, but, you know, it'll still get darker and all that sort of thing. So I hope you enjoy it. And thank you so much for calling in today and giving me your good tips, and I'll see y'all next Sunday.